of the two of the eight or nine people that started the Veterans Memorial, working with the town of Pontinlet, and we are very, very pleased with what we have done to date, and we obviously look forward to more to happen. That memorial was done in 6 months. The money raised, the papers sold, my papers with my father, my brother, both of my brothers and me are also on that walkway. It is a red, white, and blue issue, and it's something that all of us veterans want to make sure that this town knows that the Pontinlet Park Veterans Association, that memorial, is by far the best one in Volusia County. If some of you remember Morgan Gilreath, I believe he was on the council for Volusia County, but he was something in the city of DeLand. We used to show 150 to 200 people at the memorial for Memorial Day or Veterans Day. Because of the dedication of the veterans and of this town and the town council, we are now showing between 350 to 425 people at those respective Veterans Days and Memorial Days. I offer that the decision and decisions, the issues that are increasing the size of the memorial, et cetera, will only increase that attendance, with the exception of, what was it, last Memorial Day, I think it was very, 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 I mean, Veterans Day, it was very, very, very cold, if memory serves me correctly. And our attendance did drop down quite a bit, but that was because of the weather, not because of the veterans. So I would offer that the Cultural Services Board really consider the comments that Mark has made and that John and I have made as regards supporting the veterans. This place, Pontinlet Veterans Memorial Day Ceremony and Veterans Day Ceremony, again, repeating myself, are the most attended veterans issues in this county. I have been to the one in Port Orange. I used to help organize that before we did the one in Pontinlet. Again, it is the best veterans organization and the Veterans Memorial in Pontinlet, and I would ask that you please continue to let us do it with your support, and we can make it the biggest, maybe, in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
My name's Ed Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. In 2011, after months of board and council meetings and consideration of several sites, larger sites, many sites over town, throughout town, the town agreed to allow the Veterans Association to construct this memorial in Kay and Ayers Davies Lighthouse Park. And in response to citizen concerns, the Veterans Association assured the town that this memorial would have a, quote, de minimis impact on the park. And while the memorial construction required the removal of one mature live oak tree, the Veterans Association agreed to plant four trees around the memorial. Three of these trees were dedicated by the police and fire department in town, the garden club in town, and the community center in town. In spite of these assurances and the agreement to plant these four trees, the Veterans Association now wants to come in and remove these trees that they agreed to plant at the site, plus three other trees at the site. And it should be noted, as I said earlier, two mature trees have already been removed from this site without review by this board or without review by town council. And I believe one of those two trees was one of the four that the veterans agreed to plant as a condition to getting this site. I ask you, what reasonable basis is there right now to remove mature oak trees around this memorial? Right. I'm telling you right now, they are not interfering with any of the pavers or any accessibility to this memorial at all. Go look at it. And there's plenty of space to work around the trees in the future if necessary. Go look. There's a huge plot, open plot there where pavers can go. There is space there. And I find it hard to believe that anyone would visit this memorial and say, gosh, this memorial would be so much nicer if we could just cut these trees down in this park. It's uncommon for a coastal community in Florida to have the abundance of trees that we enjoy in town. And we're proud of our Tree City designation, and our town park reflects our dedication to tree preservation. Trees in a town park should not be removed unless they're diseased or a danger to the public, per a certified arborist. I'm a proud veteran. My father was a proud veteran. His father was a proud veteran. My father served 28 years active duty in the Air Force, was awarded a Bronze Star for his service in Vietnam. In fact, my 4 years in the Air Force overlapped with my father. We were in active duty at the same time in the Air Force. Relatives of mine have been killed and wounded in combat. Our family placed a stone at this site to honor my father's service. I am as proud of and reverential to our current and former military service members as humanly possible. Contrary to the recent insulting comments on the veterans' Facebook page, the fact that one opposes the unnecessary removal of trees on this memorial site does not mean that they value trees over honoring veterans. This is not an either-or situation. This is not trees versus veterans. We can continue to appreciate our memorial and our trees together. In 2011, the Veterans Association constructed a beautiful, meaningful memorial set among the trees in our park. And there is no doubt in my mind that this memorial can continue to have a positive impact alongside the trees that currently enhance the site. How do I know that? How can I confidently say that? Because that's exactly what's been happening for the past 15 years. The trees and the beautiful memorial have coexisted, and they can continue to do so. The honorable course of action to take is for the Veterans Association to honor the original agreement that they made with this town. Let's keep our beautiful memorial and keep our beautiful trees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
My name is Robert Bullard, 4802 South Peninsula Drive, Ponce Inlet. I'm the engineer for the walls, and I'm going to comment only on the tree issue.
Thank you.
There were two trees removed, both in the direct alignment of the main monument's axis to the center of the point of convergence of the two diagonal memorial walls. Those trees were technically possible for the design, the footprint of the pavers and the plans that were approved could have been left in place. It was not my decision that they necessarily be removed, except with respect to future root heave of the roots causing deformation of the pavers. There could have been methods by the use of certain soil fills around each of the trunks of each of those trees to be preserved. But it's a tedious deal, and I think root heave ultimately would have been an issue. One can prune roots just as branches. So you might have been able to deal with it that way. But it was a complicated issue. Those two trees were removed. They were one of them was obviously one of the trees that had been put in previously to make up for the impact of the project. With respect to future tree removal, there are two possibilities. The most commanding one is the one right by the bench on the right as you come into the main memorial footprint. That tree is already being adversely impacted and is going to have a root heave issue because it'll be right next to the pavers. And there's no opportunity because of its elevation with respect to the finished surface to do anything related to avoiding future root heave. So I think that's it's not unreasonable for that tree to be considered for removal. The other tree is one that's on the southwest side of the pavers, and it is about 4 to 6 feet away from the edge of the pavers and the plants. And it's not an issue right now with respect to interfering with the footprint of the pavers that are shown in the plans. Now, if the addition of pavers in the future were to take place, it would go in the direction of that tree. The other issue is that tree leans significantly to the southwest, which means that it quite likely has a prop root going northeast under the existing pavers, which could cause root heave. If that becomes a problem in the future, that tree will have to go because trying to prove that root will make the tree unstable and it will go down. So those are the only trees with respect to the footprint of the plans that were approved that have any kind of questionable continued involvement and obstruction to the physical plan of the walls themselves and the pavers that were to be put in around them. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you guys have.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is James Keese. I live at 4712 Montrose Avenue. And I just, it's not really a statement, but I'm just curious, do we have a landscape architect on board working with you guys for these items?
We do.
And have you made a master plan as to what ultimately, in a finished state, you would like for the entire memorial to be?
One of the slides showed the landscaping that's around the memorial. We wanted to, before we look at replacement of trees, we wanted to take a step back and look at how best to position the replacement trees so that they don't create any unnecessary barriers and add to the overall appearance of the park. But as I've said before, we are going to replace any tree that is removed, but do it in a smart way so it's just not hodgepodge, that it really creates a very positive visual impact.
Okay, fair enough. One thing that the reason I bring this up is I feel that if you get the master plan and what you ultimately want it to look like in a finished state, it seems to me, and I'm just getting involved in this, that we're kind of going in fits and jerks. I'm hearing that we removed two more trees for the new walls, so you had to come to the council for that. Now you're coming to the council for this. If we could get the big picture and get a vote on it and still be able to do it in phases, that would help everybody involved and save a lot of people's time. So that's really all I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning.
Carol Hamilton, 86 Ocean Way Drive, Ponce Inlet. Maybe I just tend to oversimplify things, but they mentioned they're going to replace all the trees that are being removed. Is it really truly tree removal, or are we just moving trees? That's how I look at it. You're going to have the same amount of trees you had before. They're just going to be in a different place. So I don't think it's that big of an issue, personally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Selfish Drive. I was on the original council when the Veterans Park was, we were looking for a place in town to do it, and it was a year process. The veterans at first wanted a larger memorial, and they talked about buying a piece of property, potentially behind 7-Eleven or next to Jerry's Tiki Bar. After a series of meetings, it was decided that it would be incorporated within Kay and Ayers Davies Park. And I have a list of all those meetings. And I have a list of everything that was discussed. There was a lot of concern about the size of the memorial, the tree planting, the open space that was used for the Corvette Club, the art show, everything. So there are all the meetings. There's about 14 meetings, and it has all the concerns that the different committees had. I think Bob McLaughlin was probably there. It was Land Acquisition, Parks Rec, Planning Commission, Town Council, joint meetings. It went on for a year. When the plan was finally approved in 2011, the final development order, the veterans said in their plan, we are going to put four live oak trees. Their engineer specifically placed those trees exactly where the pavers should be, and I have that plan. I think I sent that to you. And that was a condition of the development order, those four trees. They were strategically placed for shade, for location, to enhance the park. And if you see where three of the trees are still there, they have grown for 15 years. They are beautiful trees. They shade the POW chair. They shade the benches. When you're sitting, it does not distract the visibility at all of the monument. The monument is beautiful, surrounded by trees. So I'm having a hard time understanding the reason to remove trees in a park for visibility of a monument. The trees enhance that monument. They're absolutely beautiful. They are live oak trees. The Parks Rec and Tree Board, if you look at the discussions, they had talked about laurel oaks, but no live oak trees, because those are the premier trees. And veterans provided those trees, and their engineer landscaped and put those trees exactly where they should be. They were dedicated by the different clubs as memorial trees. So it seems counterintuitive to remove those trees now. We visited the memorial. The pavers are not lifting in any way. There's no arborist opinion. They were placed where the pavers were originally by an engineer. It's all in the plans. The only place the pavers are being lifted is on the side near the wall where it's been excavated. And to say, it's kind of disingenuous to say that because we want to maintain the trees in a park at Kay and Ayers Davies Park, and remember, they founded the town. They founded the lighthouse. If it weren't for them, we probably would not have Ponce Inlet as an incorporated city or the lighthouse as a park. That was the original 10 acres that was deeded from the Pacettis for $400, that 10 acres for the lighthouse. It is Lighthouse Park. It's supposed to have trees. I'm concerned also, the fact that these trees are removed to see the Veterans Memorial and considered as obstructions, it just seems odd to me. I'm also concerned if any trees are removed. Now, number six, that tree is lifting. I think, and under the code, it's section 4.0.4. Town staff can make that determination. That number six tree is lifting. It does look diseased, and town staff can make that determination. And so that you do not want children climbing on. I'm concerned about the rest of the mitigation because they're counting trees outside the DPZ, and the new lease agreement strictly says that the Veterans Association has no ownership rights in any part of that park or any part of that. So to count those trees for mitigation, if anything is removed, I think they have to recalculate, and staff already knows about that. So I'd like to just go ahead and file the list of meetings so y'all can see that and the original development plan.
Thank you, Barbara.
Oh, and by the way, my dad was a disabled vet, my mom an Army nurse in World War II.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Michael Lang, 4366 South Atlantic. I'm not a veteran. My father served in World War II in the Pacific and received the Bronze Star. I have great respect for veterans. I visit the park frequently, ride my bike there. I love it. I am a little confused by the implication that someone who doesn't support removal of these trees is somehow unpatriotic. I am patriotic. So I believe there are solutions to improve the memorial without impacting the existing trees. And my understanding is the proposal, I don't know, somebody could tell me if this isn't the case, but the proposal is to remove large oaks and replace them with 2-inch oaks. It's not like for like. So there has to be a solution, and I would like to see a comprehensive plan and not come back, you know, after each decade and say, well, we need to do another revision to our plan here with the park. I need to say also, we're a tree city. I'm in favor of preserving as many oaks as we possibly can in this town. And I believe there really has to be a solution to doing it and preserve the beauty of the memorial. Just as like I do with, I support the sidewalk on Peninsula as long as the oaks are left alone. I don't know if you are bike riders, but if you ride your bike down Peninsula and you drive all the way down to the end, to the park, to Lighthouse Park, there aren't many places in Florida that are as beautiful as that ride. So let's keep as many trees as we can. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I have a question. Am I allowed to ask that now?
Yes.
And whoever wants to answer can. I'm confused because you replaced it with, what, 3 trees? Now you want to take those out and replace them somewhere else. And then you're going to come along and go, okay, we're going to replace those. They don't have a chance to grow. They've already put 15 years in, and now you want to replace them with some little trees. And then when are you going to want to, you guys put them there. When are you going to want to do that in the future again? Well, we made a mistake. We're going to move them again, and we're going to start all over.
Happy to answer that.
Thanks.
I think if you talk to the founding members of the association and those that constructed the original memorial, they will tell you that when they built that memorial, they looked at each other and said, we'll never fill up this paver area. You know, we'll just never do it. Well, guess what? 11 years later, all those pavers were filled. So, you know, you can't project the future. You just can't. I wish we had a crystal ball. That's why the plan for this expansion, we believe, given history, we're looking at 2 to 3 decades at least where nothing else will have to be done. This is a long-term improvement project. It's not just to mitigate what's happening now. It's to create a long-term solution to the need to honor veterans. So to your point about replacing trees, when they did that, they had no idea that, oh, we're going to have to move these trees that we just put in. They had no idea. And I'm sure the number of veterans here will attest to that. And as I sat there listening to everything, and listen, I get and totally appreciate the passion that people have regarding the replacement of trees. Now, I keep on hearing removing trees. It's replacing trees. I hear that. I really do. And in that regard, and I think Liz brought that up, brought a point up. If you look at tree 1 and 2, which is in the left front of the memorial, is it necessary for us to remove that? Does it really compromise anything of real significance? Probably not. Okay, I mean, if it's easier for this board to come to a decision, what I would stress is that decision needs to be to ensure that the trees that are removed present a definitive impact to the long-term viability of those pavers. Trees 1 and 2 do not. If they remain, I think our association is okay with that. But we can't, you know, we're not going to be around in 2 decades. I want this to be around in 2 decades without any compromising of the foundation that we've established.
Thank you. Any other questions from the council? From the committee? Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Kopek. I live at 4908 South Peninsula. And Ponce Inlet's a wonderful community, there's no question. And what makes it a wonderful community is the trees. There's no quibbling over that. I'm the visionary behind the design. I'm the designer. I have 30-plus years in landscape design, award-winning design, bookings a year in advance because our designs were in demand. I've heard comments today about trees going back in at 2 inches, which is inaccurate. I've heard simple terms where a gentleman said that it really comes down to relocation. It's not a removal. It's a temporary removal, but it's a replacement. It's a relocation. It is a simple decision by the committee here today. Aesthetics sometimes play a more important role in a decision than a chapter or verse of a document. And I understand there's certain requirements that you're bound by, and I respect that. But you don't want to be back here in 5 years. You don't want to be back here in 10 years saying, oh, we could have avoided that. Oh, we should have done this. We should have done that. I heard one comment that said the engineer specified where those trees should go. Engineers are not designers. They are engineers. They go by a specification, what a book says, a spacing, a caliper, a location. But they are not designers. They are not good designers. One only has to look at a Publix, a bank, Home Depot, even this own town, where trees are misplaced when they are installed, or that this council approves relocations and replantings on lots at single-family homes without any regard for where the new trees will be planted. None. It's clear. It's evident. I have 3 decades of experience in design. I don't believe, without the risk of offending anyone here on this board, that you don't have anywhere near that collectively. I understand that you're here as a committee to look at the documents and to prepare your decision based on those documents, the application, and what you're bound by. But let's do it right. You have the opportunity to make a masterpiece, something attractive. Not that what's there is unattractive, but it can be enhanced. It can be a focal point. It could be beautiful. It could be inviting. It could be grand. It could be a destination. You have that opportunity. Don't let it pass you up. That opportunity doesn't come along very often, and nor do you have people involved. I did this gratis. I'm not a veteran. I don't have any family members that I can recall that have served. But I did it because it was right. And I hope your decision is done because it's right, not because of emotional to the positive, to the negative that was stated here today. But because it makes sense, because it was logical, because good common sense was used. A master plan was developed. You have it before you. You have it on the screens. It's there. A lot of thought was given. I noticed today not all the hands were raised when somebody asked, who went and looked at this? That's strange to me. Maybe you need to table it. I don't know. I would welcome the opportunity to walk the site with you or any of the members here, the residents here in the chamber. You have an opportunity to do something first class in this town, not something hodgepodge, not something on a whim or because a staff member says we should put a tree there. You have your own town staff, I will say, that demands or requires certain trees be put in. Even at your own park, in one of the photos that Mark showed of the little girl playing, there were oaks planted as part of that playground project. Tree's dead. Tree's gone. Where's the new tree? I ask. It's not your problem. I guess this would be directed at staff. Where's your replacement? Are you that concerned about replacement trees? Because it doesn't show. You have trees right out front here across from the police station in the retention area that were planted, part of a mitigation effort. Dead. Not replaced. Why? Were they poorly located? Were they poorly planned? You have an opportunity to do something wonderful here. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. I would welcome the opportunity to answer your questions. I would welcome the opportunity to walk the site. There is a master plan in place. Regarding root heave, that's a very valid comment by the engineer. It's a very, very valid and should be highly considered. Every single one of those trees is going to cause a problem, with the exception of one at the left of the entry walkway. Why are we removing that? Because it didn't make sense to begin with, because there was no master plan. And today you have a master plan. You have a net gain in tree canopy after this project is done. A net gain. You're not going backwards. You're only going forward, aesthetically and by tree canopy. An environmental net gain will come out of this project, and something to be very proud of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Joanne Hamilton, 86 Ocean Way. I was the first person elected to the historic board, which is the board where you now sit. We've come a long way. When the board first started, and we're talking about Ayers Park, it was weeds. It was a little pathway going through there that was dirt and sand and whatever. And along the way, because it was next to the lighthouse, we started doing a few things. First of all, we got rid of all the wooden fence. We put in a nice walkway so people with a walker or a cane or a stroller could meander through the park. We put in a beautiful, beautiful gazebo made by the Amish. And those swings and that other, whatever that thing was that kids kept falling off, we got rid of all of that and we made a beautiful, beautiful area for the children. And then along came the veterans. And look what they've done. They've not only turned it into a park, to a jewel of our town, but they've made it a destination. And now they want to expand on it again, because none of us in the beginning realized how impressive and how much it would grow and how many people would come to visit us and how popular this Veterans Memorial has become. Please let them go forward and expand, improve, and beautify what we've all started. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there's no others, then we will close public participation at this point.
Something to say. As far as the master plan, the only way you're going to have a master plan if we have no more wars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's about it. And as far as the trees, you know, I do love trees because if you go past my yard, you see more trees in my yard than any other in the neighborhood. And as far as recusing myself, I did not recuse myself not to make, I will not recuse myself because it's legal. But I think I'm willing to vote.
Any other comments before we? Okay, first I just have a few things I'd like to say. First of all, Mark, you've done a fabulous job with this Veterans Memorial, and all of you veterans. This comes down to, we are an advisory board. This will go to council. We do not make the definitive decision. I agree that the memorial has quite an impact, but I also agree that the trees frame all of that. I have been down to that memorial many times, and a lot this last week with all of the sites and all of that stuff. I absolutely love the two trees that are framing the end of your walkway to the thing, and I was looking at it, and I thought, it seems to be back far enough that it's not going to interfere within the next 10 years with the pavers that are there. I, too, at my house, had put pavers by my great oak tree, and the pavers are coming up. And it's getting to the point where we won't be able to come into our front door unless I do something. But this is a magnificent oak tree. So I decided to do some looking up on things, and there are things that we can do, which was mentioned, to save these trees. Barriers that can be done. As you said, pruning the roots, mulching, watering techniques. There's a whole bunch of things that can be done. You need an arborist first to come out and do all of that. And it is going to cost. But isn't it going to cost to take down these trees? And isn't it going to cost to replace these trees that you're doing? Actually, you don't want to use the word replace, it's relocate. You're not replacing them, you are putting them somewhere else. So I just, as I said, I love the way it is framed now. I can see tree number 6, it is rotting. That definitely should come out. It could be a danger. I think moving the signs, which I think is a great idea because I think they detract from it, but the veteran signs and the box for money and all of that, moving it up to the front would be a great idea. That will also give people that are in the parking lot seeing that there is something in that park. I don't think we need to take down trees to see the memorial. But so that's what I have to say. Anyone else on the board?
I'm just confused about, are we digging up the tree and moving it, or are we putting a new tree in?
I believe you're taking it down and killing it.
Then we're not relocating it. We're replacing
They're
it.
Relocating.
Okay.
That was one of the functions of the board when it was started, basically to replenish trees that are taken away. And those rules and regulations have been modified throughout the years. I agree as far as sometimes the job is not fulfilled when trees are allowed to die, when we allocate that, okay, you have to plant a certain amount of trees, and then those trees are allowed to die with nothing being done. And I think we need to work on that problem.
Okay, my question to all of you is, do you want to make a motion, or shall we table this until...
No, I'd like to make a motion.
You'd like to make a motion? Okay.
Yeah. So I guess I have to make it, huh?
Yes.
I make a motion to keep all the trees except number six. Except for number six, which is diseased.
Does anyone want to second that? Well, I second it. Can we have a roll call, please? Yes.
Vice Chair Keese?
I'm saying yes to the... yes.
Chair Finch?
Yes.
Ms. LeBar... Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Canny?
Can I be undecided at the moment? No. I have concerns with some of the trees coming down, but not with others. So it's hard for me to make an all or nothing decision. Oh. I'm going to agree not to take the trees down except for the infected one, diseased one.
Mr. Schaefer?
No.
Ms. Bell?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to... We're moving on to old business.
I do have a question. Was that an amendment to the, or was that just a decision to basically label it?
No, that was what we are advising to
the
council.
Yeah, keep certain amount of trees, but. And that was it, as far as the...
That's all. That was our recommendation.
You don't want to, as far as everything else is...
No. There was,
so basically everything is tabled, the other thing, as far as what they want, is tabled.
This was only for the trees removal. This is all this was about, was tree removal.
We're moving it on to the council. That's just
moving
our
on
suggestion.
To the council.
If I can just provide straight clarification. You made a motion and accepted 4-1 to... keep all five out of six, removing just number six, and bringing that to the council.
Bringing what to the council?
Oh, thank you.
You are one of the few boards I've seen that conducts yourselves with a lot of courtesy and a lot of respect for the group that we're talking about. That's very rare in municipalities today. So I just wanted to commend you for your spirit and for your help.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You.
Very nice.
It's still beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for that.
So tell me again, what happened? It's not gone to the council. Only the sixth tree has gone to the council.
Well, they can bring it back to the council wanting to take all of them out. That's up to them.
Yeah, so how this report goes is Patty will revise her report, basically stating what the board has recommended, and then council makes the decision whether or not to agree with your recommendation or make a different recommendation. Okay. So it's ultimately up to council, but as it stands, council will understand and hear that your board has stated to only remove tree number six.
Okay, that's what I understand. Thank you for
clarifying
that.
Of course.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
This is too new. This is all new, so I have to understand.
Oh, yes. No. That was a little confusing, though. We have to just remember that we are just advisory boards. We just advise. Okay, now we're moving on to old business, the discussion of budget items, and no fights about this one. Go ahead.
So Jackie Alex, Cultural Services Manager. At the January 5th Cultural Services Board meeting, the board provided input on budget proposals for the Cultural Services Department and requested additional research. Below are items researched for the upcoming fiscal year. As I typically do with budget items, I will go item by item, and I request a consensus with a motion for each item. So I'll start with item number one. That would be temporary staffing for town event and program coverage. So the board recommended staff research temp staffing to support Cultural Services Department during large-scale events, which included examples of Halloween and the town tree lighting, and smaller programs where volunteer positions during the event needed to be filled. Temp staffing is required to work a minimum of 8 hours within any given work week, which may consist of one full 8-hour shift or two full 4-hour shifts. Under this structure, temp staffing would be most effective in supporting only three large-scale annual events, the Easter party, Ponce Preserves the Planet, and the Halloween party. I estimated to compare whether 5 staff or 12 staff, depending on how we proceed with the Halloween event. So 12 staff would be if we continued with the haunted hayride. The total hours of estimated temp staff range between 96 and 160 hours approximately, depending on the future of Halloween. The estimated cost of utilizing temp staffing for these three large events is approximately between $2,600 and $4,500. However, I did an additional analysis for overtime based on the actual needed hours for these three specific events listed, because some events, like, say, Easter, you only really need staff for 2 hours or volunteers for 2 hours, not the whole 8 that temp staffing would require. And this overtime cost analysis was about half the amount of the temp staffing that was proposed. However, temp staffing was originally proposed based on the trend that staff had seen, where 50 to 80% of event operations are seeing staff overtime. So basically 50 to 80% of some of these events are run by staff. So that's why we originally proposed this. So that's item number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
My thoughts on item number one, if you're going to hire part-time, why don't we try and make a donation to a school's drama department or a theater program that just lost a lot of funding recently and see if they will come perform? Because I hate to see their hayride go. We've been doing it for so long. And maybe they can help. You know, hire somebody, make a donation, get a theater club. So that's just my 2 cents.
That's a great news suggestion. We haven't had that proposed before, so we certainly can add that to the budget if the board requests that for specific events. I can even list the events that we have the most challenge with in previous history. It's going to be hard to tell which one, but the board can certainly recommend setting a budget for the main and larger special events if you'd like to donate.
And like for Halloween, you could do a drama club or a theater, but you could also, for like the other ones, just take one of their service clubs and make a donation, and they can send, you know, people that want to volunteer. I saw that you had something from a theater troupe, correct?
That's in the next item, yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's in the next one. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
I think that's a great idea, but we do seem to be having problems getting students, groups.
Even with money?
Well, even with money, only because a lot of times our dates interfere with their dates. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in Port Orange during that Halloween time and all of that stuff. And we like to keep it, I know, near Halloween, so it's usually the Friday before Halloween, Jack? Is that
As of late, because we're competing against Port Orange for their volunteers.
Well, you can always change the date, maybe.
Well, you want to keep it closer to Halloween.
I know, ultimately, yeah, but I'm like, is there any way we can call the schools and see if there would be an interest if we made a donation on that date you know, are they going to have anything interfering? And I mean, if we had to, we could tweak it just so we could.
I'd like to make a statement. My career was in school administration, and very often when you propose something like this, you find that there's a lot of enthusiasm, and students are really involved in participating. But when the day actually comes, you find that they have faded. So that commitment issue can be a problem. I'm not saying we shouldn't do this, but if we do it, we should know that even though they said they would come, they weren't able to, or they changed their mind.
Oh, I worked in the school, so I understand, and with a drama teacher. Yeah. And we're going to come to rehearsals.
No, exactly. No.
But we don't know.
Yeah, because currently we do invite all of the local drama theater groups, whether it be high school or nonprofits or for-profit agencies. A good example is for the Halloween party, we invited Embry-Riddle. They offered 22 people to come be on the Haunted Hayride, and we didn't find out until 2 days before that it no longer worked with their schedule.
Right.
So there's not a way for us to know if we offer the payment and then 2 days before people get sick or not come, or I don't know if money is an incentive or not, and we won't know until a few days before. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the next item as well. But just to kind of add to that discussion.
So this one we're just kind of going, let me go back to the page.
How difficult will it be? So we could save money by offering overtime.
Correct.
Instead of hiring.
Compared to
that would be good.
Yes, well, that is, but is it difficult to get staff to do the overtime?
Yes. We usually get one department that's more passionate to volunteer, but even staff time has dwindled with other obligations or new grandbabies attending their responsibilities.
You mean they have a life outside of Ponce Inlet? Okay. What do you want us to do with this? Just hold on to it in our heads right now?
Well, so unfortunately, this is the last meeting for the board to make any recommendations for the Cultural Services Department budget. So if you, at this point, it's really a yes or no. We can always bring this back to next year's budget, and we can continue on with staff overtime if that's what the board would like to do. We can also budget in, you know, what if you're thinking about a donation, if you want to specify, if you want to have a donation set tolerance and for each like specific event, it's up to the board, but either way.
You know, if we have the staff, we at least we know they are committed. Whereas if you go by students or anybody else, you know, we have the same problem. We have things going on at our church, and we tried to point to trying to use students and so forth. That doesn't work out.
Yeah.
It's the idea, basically, if you have staff, you have somebody that is committed, you know it's going to get done.
Could we go to somebody like Sophie Circle and make a donation and see if, because they'll supply, or Daytona Dog Beach or one of those to supply people if we make a donation to their nonprofit?
Problem is, we have to get all these people vetted, though, don't we? Yeah.
Correct. So that's the other issue, is that when we donate to other places, if they're volunteering, that's the other issue that came up with certain places that we've asked for volunteerships. They still have to submit a background check because they're still working with children at our event. So that's the other caveat. We may pay them, but they may not get their background checks in time.
Right.
I think that our best bet, if we have to make a decision now, is to stick with the overtime and try with that. Maybe with David's idea of having a brunch or something, you know, to try and get people in, maybe we take some money to have this brunch. Put that in the budget.
Certainly. So that could easily be a few $100. It'd be probably less than $500. So
think about that's that idea.
You know, combining that with the new people moving into Ponce.
Right.
Combine that, make it a volunteer/welcome new residents of Ponce Inlet gathering.
Could we do it on a weekend?
At that gathering, you would have a volunteer table or a sign-up thing.
Right, yeah.
And highlight the, have a board and say, these are our events for the year. That would be, would be the easiest way to do it.
I think that's a great idea. Then we just have to have people sign up because everyone
that's
has
true.
To be vetted,
no,
which is
it.
A pain yeah. in the neck. But
it is a new idea that we haven't tried yet, so
let's
it
try
harm.
That. If I
we,
like your idea.
If we do the brunch,
and David will
organize
work,
it. Can we do it on the weekend, or is that a whole other issue?
We could do it on the weekend.
Yeah, we
why not?
Weekend, that's fine.
Could that be done on a timely basis before you need to know?
Yeah, so Easter, we're pretty close to that date, but the main issues that we've been experiencing is Halloween and the tree lighting, so we can certainly do something like that maybe in the summertime or even May. Yeah. So,
how do we advertise it?
Yeah, so currently, are you talking about currently how do we advertise volunteer recruitment?
I want to know for the welcome.
Oh, so that would be a normal town advertising. So we do Facebook, Nextdoor, Instagram. We have several news outlets that we post in their newspaper. We do it on the water bill. I'm trying to think of other places that we
no,
do it.
That's good.
Well, it depends on where we have it. If we have it at Picky, do we have to pay Picky?
No.
Okay.
Would they put it on their sign?
Yes.
Yeah, we can
well,
certainly ask
I don't
for
know.
It.
Mark's mm-hmm. the one that's in charge.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Wait a minute. We have a person here that can do that for us.
I could if we need to.
Because yes. Kim's on the board for Picky.
Hopefully
so.
Still.
Oh, good.
Would you put it up for us?
Yes, I would. I know where the letters are.
I do too, though, and I'm not even on your board.
Okay, so.
Okay, how about doing that? How much money do you want? How much
well,
do
I have
you want?
No idea. I have to think about that. I mean, I get a little group together of my peeps and
yeah, get your peeps together and we'll plan something.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun.
Can we bring liquor? No, I guess not.
Well, you got to get a date and give them plenty of notice. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, put
in. So what
put
I'm hearing as a consensus is no to temporary staffing, do the overtime for staff for these events, and then host a volunteer brunch recruitment for volunteers as well as new residents. And just for budget purposes, I would like and request a set limit for that volunteer brunch.
Well, you are so good at setting these things up for us. So what does it cost for something like this?
Yeah, so to put into perspective, the volunteer dinner is much more it's extensive. It's alcohol involved and
oh, right,
donations
right.
and stuff like that. And that usually is around $3,500. And that's 120 people. So I wouldn't anticipate this being over $1,000. So you can do anywhere between $500 and $1,000. I would think that that would be realistic, but I don't know specifications that would go into
well,
that.
Well, I'm thinking if when you do like the town hall, okay, that type
yeah.
of stuff.
So we're really what's only purchasing that? Like cookies. There's not a lot of – so if we're talking about food, that's really the
no,
only expense.
No, I'm thinking
that,
pastries or
okay.
cookies or don't you think, water, coffee?
Is there a liability involved if you had a volunteer to volunteer the food? Or does it have to be from like Publix
no.
or
–
because
no, we
when I was teaching, you know, the parents had to bring in – they want to bring in a kid's birthday. It had to be from Publix. It couldn't be – a mother couldn't bring it in because of, you know, if she put a nut in it or whatever, you know.
Yes, we do have to have a vendor or an organization making the food itself. We cannot have outside entities making or bringing in food.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Glad I stopped teaching before that.
That's the way that, I don't know if there's a Florida thing or not, but that's the way it was when I taught, so –
Yeah. No, we had somebody before they had that rule, a mother bringing brownies, say they were brownies or cupcakes, to the classroom, and she dropped them all on the ground, and she picked them back up and brought them to the classroom. I'm like, don't eat those. So I get it. I mean, although that could happen with store-bought, too. But
right, right.
Well, also, I mean, I don't know how this would be a option, but we could maybe ask the local restaurants in Ponce to say, could you volunteer some chicken fingers or french fries or
a good idea.
Fruit
That's
platter,
true.
Whatever. I mean, I'm just saying,
Yeah.
You know, and then you could have you could have it at the meeting. Right. These are a courtesy of down the hatch, off
right,
the hook.
Right.
Hidden
right.
treasure, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. When we built the playground, the restaurants brought in lunch for people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was great.
We had a great community output as well for the 60th anniversary. So that's
yes. Yes.
something
that's
we can certainly do. I just wanted to see what the scope